You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keen
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, AfterBuzzers. Bingus for doing. And today we're doing Chapter 7, House of Cards, Netflix original series. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hi, guys. Emma Kostandian.
Hi, Sophia Stanley.
And I'm John Comerford.
Yes. Emma Kostandian, Sophia Stanley, and John Comerford in the house. To talk about yet another riveting episode of this amazing show. So, let's get right into this. Frank finally gets the recognition that he's been looking for.
Yes.
For this, excuse me, this education bill.
Yeah, signed into law. Nice.
So they open the episode with their prepping for the press conference or whatever.
Yeah.
To go ahead and give the proper
signing ceremony,
where everybody gets their pins and all that good stuff, right? The president gets to take credit and give praise at the same time, and they're setting up names along the
it's everybody's
crew.
Mark you gotta hit your mark.
So you see Womack's name there, who I guess is the first African-American majority leader, and they've got Underwood's name, and then you see Matthews is the VP. It's like they put his name like furthest away from the president. These people don't do things like haphazardly or like
it's all about the
just
optics,
randomly,
right?
I mean, it was very it was done specifically for that reason, and he comes
getting pushed to the side
What do you go ahead, Sophia? I know you'll say something about this.
No. Well, it's even the reason I think this show is absolutely brilliant is that there's definite subtlety in the details.
Right.
So even if you notice from the minute that Matthews comes into the room, notice how he shakes hands. He does kind of one of the sideway handshakes, which if you think about it from a political standpoint, right? Like a handshake is extremely important.
Yeah.
Then watch how Frank comes in the room. Frank does what I consider to be the typical political handshake: the shake, pat on the shoulder, right? Because that usually, even watch when presidents in debates, like that, whoever does that first handshake and the pat on the shoulder normally is the dominant figure.
Right.
People who shake kind of sideways are kind of like a hi, nice to meet you. See how my voice dropped down? And I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say that,
but
normally that's a very dominant side.
Right.
So I think that he looked and he assessed, and you clearly saw that he saw that that wasn't his mark. And even the way that the young lady kind of, you know, went to him, you know, rather respectfully, and was like, you know, Mr. Vice President, I need you to stand on your mark. And the way that he goes, no, I'm okay here.
He was like, I'm fine right here. He didn't even look at her. Yeah. He didn't even make eye contact. It's kind of like when you go out and somebody tries to tell you, oh, you're, I'm sorry, this table is reserved. Like, no, I'm fine right here. And you don't even look at them. And they're just like, okay. And then they walk away.
But she had the last last word on that, because she put that young boy right in front of him.
I wasn't expecting him. I was expecting him to go to his name tag. So that was kind of strange.
That was strange.
He doesn't seem like he's outgoing. And so I like that.
He doesn't want to be disregarded, to speak.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, I guess he feels like he's probably
like every VP. They always and they are. They're overlooked like crazy.
Right. So that was really funny. So what was the significance of them placing the little boy in front of him?
I think for me it was probably his spot.
Well, the little boy was supposed to be standing.
Yeah.
The little boy was standing where he was supposed to be standing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved the little boy to be in front of him. Or
I think that might have been his spot because it was an education bill for kids. I'm guessing that was the optic they were going for.
Right. So, it was just really funny.
Yeah.
That was just a really
Just been her way of saying, "Well, I'm still, you know, we're still gonna do it our way." sort of kind of placing the kid in front of
him. I'm going to be the one who's maybe not so PC or too PC. I'm going to have two theories. One of them is we all live in Los Angeles, right? And you actually want always something to be aesthetically pleasing and for it to be balanced.
Right.
So arguably, Frank has to be in the shot because it's Frank's bill, theoretically, right? You also want Womack there because Womack also is the new guard,
right?
It's ushering in the new guard,
right?
And so therefore, arguably the child makes for a better optics. You can't have Frank, right? And I'm trying to not go where I'm really trying to go.
Just go.
Okay.
Go.
So, I mean, aesthetically, if you have Frank and the vice president, it's one shade,
right?
Which makes it not balanced.
Sure.
If it was supposed to be Frank and Womack, now you have balance. You have vanilla ice cream as well as chocolate ice cream. So, theoretically, when the vice president stands in there, they need to bring chocolate ice cream back into the equation to make for a better sundae.
So, Womack was everyone understands my analogy.
Right.
To make it like, okay, like education.
And it's also old guard, new guard.
Got
Frank
you.
Still symbolizes the old guard, which is fine. And I think it also ties into, this is the first time I've watched ahead, so I'm not going to say what I'm going to say, but the next episode, trust me, it's going to tie back in old guard, new guard.
Okay.
And especially even to a certain extent, race.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's really what it's symbolizing from a generalized symbolic perspective.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, you notice Frank, after he goes and speaks with, after they do the whole ceremony.
Yeah.
He has a little chat with the vice president and speaking with him about supporting
Pete Russo,
which... What was the whole purpose of him speaking with Peter Russo?
Frank or
I mean, I'm sorry, not Pete speaking with Peter Russo. It was Frank speaking with Vice President Matthews. Was it to get his, just try to get him, get support? I don't think he was really trying to gain support or get his endorsement.
Well, I think
even though that's his home state.
I think that would help him. I don't think that's going to hurt him in Pennsylvania to have the an endorsement from him. From the VP, because he's right. Russo's not going to get the rural vote, so this guy would. So if he endorsed him, that would be a coup. I think he was schmoozing him. He didn't. He just wanted him out of the way so that he was so glossy with why he was just. But if he got an endorsement, I mean, I don't think he's going to say no to it.
It would be great. Yeah. But for me, it seems like Frank is up to Underwoodian ways. He's up to something.
He was so cool.
Because he knows this guy is not
going
to. He knows he's not going to endorse Peter Russo. I think he already knows that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he's up to something.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
I think
when Frank said, because the VP said, why didn't they come to me to.
Exactly.
And he says, oh, but they didn't. Oh, man, that's just wrong. That's all just schmooze. I think he's just trying to, you know, placate him and say the right thing so that this guy's not going to be an enemy or cause any kind of rife with in any way. And the endorsement thing, he's just stroking his ego.
Yeah, I thought it was just a tactic to get Linda and the president against him.
Exactly. I think that it has something to do with that as well. Because he said, oh my gosh, they don't even come and speak to
that's
you.
That's terrible.
I think
how
horrible.
My gosh. So he is like instigating something.
Yeah. He did it on purpose because now when they do go ahead and let him know about it and they tell him, you know, he's not going to have a say in who gets chosen, it's them being the bad guy, not Frank.
Right. And he ends up that he's trying to stir a little pot on the side. And I'm going to see what exactly... That is, for you guys out there at AfterBuzz Land who've already jumped ahead and watched all the episodes, already know. I don't think that we're stupid because we're still watching them. And we're dealing with this episode right here, right now.
That's right.
So we're still, you know, have to see what's up Frank's sleeve. That's going to be very interesting how he uses the vice president's power against himself. I think he knows the power the vice president has and the vice president...
Well, we were talking about last week, last episode, about why was he told Stamper to look even farther than that, the VP ahead, look beyond that. So it looks like he's trying to get rid of the VP.
But did any of you guys notice the opening? It was just the longest opening we've had without anyone speaking.
And it was a cold opening. We usually have a little teaser, and then we have credits, and then we go, and this was a cold opening.
That's true.
I think in a way they were comparing the AA meeting or tying the AA meeting somehow into the education bill. And Frank says it later on that he basically used the education bill for Russo. So I thought they did a great job opening the scene.
And
I'm still trying to figure out, I know Sophia has something on her mind, but I'm still trying to figure out why he's using Russo. What is he using this as a whole, as a platform just for Claire, for her watershed act? Do you think it's purely...
No, because that came after. The decision to use PETA came before using the Watershed Act. He asked Claire afterwards.
Do you think that's something that he already had up his sleeve?
I don't think he thinks that far ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm still trying to figure out what he's trying to gain from pushing Peter Russo.
We talked about this before, and I don't think it's Peter Russo. Again, I think it's the district. Like, everything in politics has to do with geography, not so much the person.
Location.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
How close you are to standing at the dais at the inauguration. Exactly.
And then again with the signing of the bill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't simply that they keep tying Russo with the vice president. They tie them together because they're both from Pennsylvania.
Correct.
That's why even the thought of Russo popped into Frank's head. It wasn't simply because it was Russo and that's a name that he controls. Right. It's something to do with Pennsylvania.
Because they talked about in the meeting, in the DNC meeting, they need Pennsylvania to win.
Right.
And again, John actually just answered the question.
Right.
Right. So at the end of the day, this is the problem, not the problem. I'm going to be like a political strategist for a minute. Mm-hmm. The problem with a quote unquote popular president is you have to remain popular, right? So that first wave, whatever that popularity and that newness, is no longer there for the second term.
Right.
So you have to hunker down in a completely different kind of way. That's why the president was willing to throw away and cave over for the unions in terms of the education bill, because he was like, I can't have this, right? Like, I have to be reelected. And even Marty last episode was like, you know, his strategists were like, well, he's still going to be there for the next 3 years. Like, he may not get elected for a second term, but he'll still run out his term. Right. So I think that Frank is really thinking strategically about the next term. So he's already positioned himself in such a way that not only did he get the education bill signed into law, publicly he got acknowledged on television.
Correct.
Right? So not only was his location and his geography prime, the president of the United States singled him out as the one individual person who spearheaded this new wave of America reassuming its dominance as an intellectual superpower.
Poor Marty Spinella. He's probably just...
I wonder if he still has a job.
Yeah, I wonder where he's at. He probably doesn't have a job right now, or he's a consultant somewhere.
Yeah.
He's not doing what he's doing. Poor guy.
Yeah. So I think it's totally connected to Pennsylvania as it relates to the second term.
Yeah.
Basically getting the second term. Right. So whatever Frank wants is connected to that. And obviously got the education bill. If he's able to basically then get Russo elected and somehow that's connected to the presidency, he can get anything he wants.
So maybe he does want to be...
I still don't think so. And I'm the holdout.
Okay, you're gonna hold out on that. Okay.
I don't think he wants to run next term or anything.
No, definitely not. He eventually wants to set himself up to become...
He wants to be the big dog.
Somewhere, of course, he wants to be the big dog, the big fish, and all this, whatever. But I think it was interesting, like Emma mentioned about the AA meeting that was going on while they were doing this press conference, and you have Russo at the meeting with Stamper, and he's at this AA meeting.
Yeah.
And he can't stand it. He's boiling inside. Like, why am I here? I'm a congressman.
He doesn't believe in God. I'm not giving myself up to a higher power. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
Right.
Also, because he hasn't hit rock bottom.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem. Like, I was literally sitting there, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful in any kind of way, but it's almost as if I was like, what a spoiled brat. Right?
So it's spoiled.
No, seriously, like, boohoo, you came from Irvine, Philadelphia. You know, obviously, like, pulled yourself up from your bootstraps. You're now a congressman, and like, oh, your life is so horrible, so you have to like drown your sorrows with drugs and alcohol and like prostitutes and going to Thailand and doing bing bam, whatever the other drug that they mentioned is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But in a way where even when, and I'm just skipping ahead a little bit, but when the strategist was asking about what he did and even kind of in a relationship with his kids, he's like, I would never. But you left your kids in a house, in an apartment while you went on a bender. Like, it's that far removed.
Like, it's a big jump to go from what you've been doing to be neglectful of your kids.
But again, and I don't mean to make a prediction now, but it's a prediction that it's whether or not his desire to want to be governor is enough to keep him sober. Because if he doesn't truly understand that he has a problem, because arguably there's a theory with addiction, there's two types of addicts. But one type of addict only has a problem when you take away the access to their drug.
Right.
So arguably he's functioning. Why is he functioning? Because people were being a crutch for him. Christina, Frank to a certain extent, Stamper, all of these people. But at the same time, I don't think he's really acknowledged that he's an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Well, here's the thing. I think this guy has a desperate need of approval psychologically. This is part of the reason why he ran for office. Mm-hmm. I think this is part of the reason why he does a lot of things that he does. This is
And the guilt he had over trying to write those emails to people for the jobs they lost. I mean, he had horrible... Yeah.
Right. He has a desperate need for approval. Mm-hmm. And he even needs that with Christina to continue running running in the gubernatorial race.
Nice.
John got me. The gubernatorial race. He decided to go ahead and stay in, but he needed her approval.
Yeah.
He says, you know, she says, everybody thinks that blah, blah, blah. He says, I want to know what you think. Yeah. I care what you think.
Yeah.
So obviously the people who are closest to him is what fuels him.
But even on a grander scale, because all those people who've lost their... I mean, he was taking the hit. Remember his friend who visited him and
he has his buddy
the
Paul.
Kind of the friend I knew, the Peter Russo I knew, would have been punched.
He was throwing a punch back against the wall.
So he's lost. He obviously lost himself to some degree. He doesn't know who he used to be, and so he's trying to find that back. But what I thought was great was that Frank knew exactly what string to pull, what lever point Peter needed. So and then goes to Christina. He knew. They all knew that. Okay, he's gone off the farm. How do we get Peter back? What's the one thing that's going to bring him back and put him back in line? It's Christina.
How does he find this stuff out?
He knows everything.
Also, it's not that difficult. Yeah. It's really not that difficult.
So is it like obvious? Go ahead, Emma.
But they already knew. Remember when Stamper met him at the bar? He said, "Oh, you have a hickey. Is that one of your?"
Right.
So they do know about it.
Yeah, right. They know about it. But
just like when they went to
dinner. They know where she works because they had asked for her to take a week or 6 months off. To go beyond the campaign.
But, they'd been broken. Yeah. I don't know how long they'd been broken up, but it was just that he didn't have to go to anybody else. It's not like he went to Russo's parents or good friends or anything.
But
he went to that one person.
We're introducing a new puppet to Frank's show.
Sure.
True, but true. Just real quick, I just want to say this. But again, it shows that she's more important than just like a bedmate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because we talked about
compared
this before. No, I'm not going to go that far in a different way, though. But I mean, because we had talked before and I had mentioned the level of intimacy. Like, he needs her simply because he seems like a degenerate doesn't mean that degenerates don't have feelings.
I'm going to hold on that he's a degenerate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but I think that's kind of how we were saying before. And I think that doesn't mean that he doesn't have feelings because obviously he really cares about her, and he cares about her enough that her viewpoint of him matters, or else it wouldn't. Like, he would have really just been kind of like, you know, trying to get back with her, but he wouldn't have been concerned with how she views him. And basically, like, stuff's gonna come out that, like, you may not like me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that at the end of the episode, the fact that she used her key again, it basically means, like, they're basically sliding back into where they were as a relationship. But basically, that's her way of saying, it doesn't really matter what comes out. Like, I'm in this with you.
Right.
Which is exactly what he needed, because I think
it's what every man needs.
I think it's what everybody needs. It's what everyone
every
needs.
Person
because I
needs
think
that,
that
yeah,
usually,
every person needs
that. If someone's insecure and they're seeking approval from people, and again, this has to do with secrets, and Frank brings this up, and Frank specifically says Zoe, Claire, and Frank are one type of people as it pertains to secrets, right?
Yeah.
And Russo is letting his secrets strangle him.
Right.
And really what it is he's not standing up as a full human being. So I feel like that first step with Christina is basically saying that regardless of what comes out, and even though they're still going to spin it, it's basically saying, I'm going to stand up as a whole human being, flaws and all, and decide if people are going to like me or not.
But he's never really going to say everything.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Because clearly he only says the talking points.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't think he's fit for the job. I mean, even with the scene where they're talking about the bill and he's just sitting there and he has nothing to say, nothing to contribute, I'm just like, are you serious?
Well,
say something, do something,
speaking to Emma's point, because he's not fit. do you at this point want to say what you're.
Thank you, John.
What your last week's teaser was?
In news and gossip, the
NBA, NFL,
NBA versus NFL. I have to pull it up. Give me a second.
All right, but here's my point: is that you may be right, but there are probably people who are in Congress who are far more flawed, shall we say, than this gentleman. So we can say he's not, but there.
I mean,
face it. Based on what,
even you know what Sophia said with him acting like a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And him not taking ownership of what he does, and Frank is giving him an excuse to lie about what he's done and what he's still doing.
But yeah, okay,
so I found it.
Using that
really quickly. So we did a comparison. I read some statistical facts about of crimes that have been committed and obviously questionable character flaws between the NBA and the NFL. See what you guys thought last week. And it turns out that it's not the NBA or the NFL. So. It's the 535 members of the United States.
So of the 535 members of Congress, read off a few of them. How many convictions
again,
have
they had? There have been 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year.
Okay, so that's out of the 535
Congress, the 535 United States.
So, yeah, I don't know. Is Peter fit? It looks like he'll fit right in.
So now do you look at our country like, is that bad? Or are the people at home saying, wow, that's horrible?
That is.
Or are they saying...
I think people are feeling good. Like, oh, I'm not the only one.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb. Number one, I think that people are... still, for the level of democracy we are, we are probably the most passive of democratic citizens.
My God.
I think we're unaware. Like, I think that most people probably couldn't name their congresspeople.
Right.
I think most people couldn't, and I don't know who it is. I think it's either like, I think it could be Leno. Doesn't Leno done, they,
yeah,
it
man,
does like
man
the man on the street.
Yeah.
Like, most people don't know these types of things. So I think that, when you read the stats, we all go, oh, whoa. But is that really bad if you don't even know who your congressman or woman is? And I think that I'm going to take it on a limb and say it's kind of the whole concept of separation between church and state, right? So I'm going to make church personal and state, you know, your job.
Right.
Arguably, on some levels, if you're a bad person, but you're good for the state, is that really any of our business?
Or is it all for the greater good?
Right. And not even all for the greater good. Is it any of our business? As long as it doesn't affect the job, at the end of the day, like, I don't really care. Like, it's none of my business. Right. I don't care what you do at your home. Like, the minute you're not my elected official, that's your business. As long as it doesn't affect your job, and if, in fact, you do something illegal, then you should be brought to justice on that charge, which is separate than your job.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. Do you guys understand what she's saying? I understand what she's saying. So I mean, you guys are following. Sophia, she's very intelligent. She will.
But let's bring it back to Peter, though. So yeah, he's completely unfit, so to speak. If we're going to look at just those things, the drugs, and he was unfit by his behavior of what he was doing. Because again, we never saw him doing anything of worth in terms of his job. Now maybe he was, but we weren't privy to that.
Right.
So it looked like he wasn't even doing his job well. So in that sense, no, he's not fit. But it doesn't stop Frank, and I don't think it stops a lot of people. If they can get him elected, and because they can control them and get them to do what they want, then yeah, they're going to run him.
I was actually wondering, if he does get elected, what does Frank get out of it? But then I was looking at the education bill. He got his weekly meeting with the president. So, you know, something that small, I think.
That's true.
And this is probably going to get him something big with the president that he's planning that we don't know yet. So.
Well, speaking of his weekly meeting with the president, and let's go ahead and jump to the meeting that he had with the president and Linda Vasquez, where he's trying to garner support for Peter Russo's, gubernatorial. I'll say candidacy.
Whatever you want. I'm sorry, man.
His candidacy for governor of Pennsylvania, which is much easier to say. So that was a stretch for them. Linda was really adamant, like, what? Like, I really don't think that
you want to support a former drug addict?
Right. He's what? They're like, what? And they're both like, what? This guy's a substance abuser.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Frank spun it like, you know, how we're... Well, he didn't really spin it. He just was telling them how they're...
Everybody loves a comeback.
He did spin it,
but the whole situation has been spun.
Yeah.
So he's really just telling them how they're attacking the situation. He's spinning the whole situation.
Yeah.
So I guess the RNC can't attack them.
Yeah, they're going to take away their ammunition.
Right.
That's
ammunition and use it for ourselves.
But I just love how every time Linda attacks, he's kind of like putting her back into place. And
well, he put her there. Let's not forget. And he hasn't forgotten that he put her there. So he's going to keep her in her place, because
you're a puppet. Leaving the whole thing about how you get rid of a trifle of doubt. Let's say, no better way to overpower a trickle of doubt than with a flood of truth.
Right.
So
there was a couple of great little catchphrases for this episode. Nice. I love the guy who was going through the vet prep.
Oh yeah,
with Peter the
operative.
Russo.
Yeah, yes. Frank's operative. Yeah,
and he's like, I know, and I've scraped all the shit off the shoe. Yeah. I mean, I was like, that is a lie.
Okay, that was one thing I didn't like. It's not that I didn't like it. I didn't think it was real. Okay, Peter, he's got to know, if you're going to run for governor, you're going to be vetted.
Dude.
No. It's and so I completely disagree, and we've talked
you
about
don't
this
think
before.
He'd be aware?
No, listen. I completely disagree. Again, we brought it up
because
before.
Because he's a degenerate. No, listen, only a degenerate would think that he's not going to get vetted.
Because, again, it's like, look at our two, the 08, I can't do math. The other presidential election, when you know who one of the presidential candidates all of a sudden came out with an illegitimate child. Do you think he didn't know? That wasn't his first time in Congress. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was an elected official, number one. Uh-huh. Number two, he comes from a good family. So it's not like it's even his first time being involved in politics. And he legitimately thought he could keep not only an affair, but a child under wraps. Think about every person who does it. I think they think they can lie. I don't think that when they think that they're going to be vetted, I don't think they think they're going to be vetted on the level that they are.
I disagree as well. In these days, how can you not know? I agree with you that their hubris is so big that they think they can get away with a lie.
Yes.
I completely agree with you on that. But I think it's totally implausible for me to believe at this level. I know that you're going to get vetted and going to ask those hard questions by the people because they want to know ahead of time everything you've done so we have something to do, so we can have a strategy to deal with it if somebody else gets it. So it's completely implausible for me to believe that he doesn't realize he's going to get vetted and ask horrible questions.
I don't think he realizes it was going to be so in depth because they did cover up for
him.
Then
he's an idiot, and I don't believe he's that much of an idiot.
They did cover up for him when he got pulled over with the prostitute. So they're asking about prostitution when they covered up for him. So he probably thought
that was completely different.
Yeah,
he wasn't running for office with that situation.
But they still covered up for him.
But seriously, we're not in politics. Don't you know if you're going to run for governor that you're going to get asked the hard questions by your own people first so that they have something to deal with?
A cover up just for something that's going on right there in the spot based on just the prime players is one thing. But when you're running for an office that's completely separate from the office that you already hold, there's going to be a vetting process. People are going to want to know. People are going to, why should I vote for you for governor? Blah, blah, blah. That's just like common sense to me.
No, and I completely disagree.
That to me is like common sense. And that's why he's going through this right now.
Intellectually, I agree with both of you. Practically, I disagree 100%, or else there would not be political scandals.
You're talking about the scandals that happen. I'm talking about if I'm running for governor, it's ridiculous to think my own people aren't going to know everything, want to know everything,
and
so
I
they
totally
have a strategy.
Disagree. I totally disagree.
That's
I think the problem is, I think people legitimately start lying to themselves, and that's why.
That's different from me asking the question, is you not wanting to say it or wanting to lie about it.
The whole reason that the episode starts off with AA is AA, the reason that they have steps and why one of the integral steps is admitting all that you have done and all the people you have wronged.
And this
right?
is why he's walked out, because
he
can't admit it.
He can't admit that.
But you're
right?
talking about so, admitting it or talking, that's not what I'm talking about.
But I think it's even the thought of it. Do you know what I mean? Even the thought of the question, like, he basically was like, how dare you? And the reason the guy goes into him so hard was like, you're the dude who did it.
You're
Does
right.
that make sense? But the fact that they're having this interchange, and I do agree with you that here he's done all these things and he's done all these bad things, but he still feels like it's an invasion of his privacy. In the same way that once Christina comes and he says, okay, we're going to keep my kids out of it, even that, and maybe we'll use the term hubris, is hubris. Technically, unless, and I personally feel that you should be allowed to keep your kids out of it, but at the end of the day, unless you're willing for your entire life to be ripped inside and out, everyone who's connected with you, whether or not that's your wife, your previous girlfriend, your mom, your dad, whomever,
right.
you shouldn't step into politics, right? Because that's where we've gone as a country. I still think that people somehow think they can keep their private lives private, and as long as it has nothing to do with my job, I can say that I smoked a little dope and maybe did a couple lines, but...
I think in this day and age, that is just... You're living in la-la land.
So then my question for you is, so are we saying that there's only one of two choices with politics moving forward in 2013? Either you have a choice of to tell everything potentially that you have done wrong, or no. You need to be pure as snow.
No, I'm just saying that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying it's stupid to think if I'm running for governor that my own people aren't going to ask the hard questions.
Right.
I'm not saying that I have to tell the world my backstory.
I understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is
their
it would be ridiculous.
To be prepared for everything.
Their job is to do all that work. And for me to think and to have
this is his own home camp.
Okay.
Some indignation.
This
is his own home camp and he's cracking with
okay.
his own team.
No, but this is my thing. Can I say something? I'm going to just, I have to go legal for a second, mm-hmm. right? In a lawyer-client relationship, mm-hmm. you are literally protected by the law
right.
that if I am your lawyer and you are my client, mm-hmm. I am protected by a body that is almost larger than anything to keep your secrets,
correct.
Right? Even in those situations, most clients are not 100% honest with their lawyers.
Clearly.
And they are protected. Their relationship in terms of all communications are
right.
protected.
Right.
This is not a protected relationship. So right. what would make people think that when potentially their lives are at jeopardy, literally, and they're still not honest with someone who
okay,
cannot
tell. You're still going
tell,
to that. You're still going to him being honest. Of course he's not going to want to be honest about everything he's done. What I'm saying is he got indignant about the fact that they asked the question.
Okay. All right.
And say, if you're running for governor, of course they're going to ask that question.
Okay.
Who's yeah, idiotic enough to think that they're not?
Their job is to prep because if there's just a couple little things that are out, it's going to domino and link to something else that leaks
right.
to something else.
If they don't
that's
have a
what
strategy,
investigative reporters do.
And they can't do a quick response about they need to know everything. So, okay, somebody else found
because
out.
Because when the media sniffs out stuff, the next thing you know, they're going to be
and they don't have a quick response.
They're going to dig over here. They're going to
okay.
do
like,
you
think,
better have some kind of answer response. That doesn't mean you have to tell them everything. That means you better have an answer for it.
I agree. Right. I guess, but this is my thing is, and I think hopefully we can agree on this. It was necessary mm-hmm. for him to buck up
of
and
course.
Really realize that this was a level of scrutiny and the disclosure he
right.
needed in order to potentially actually be a viable candidate for governor of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I just think for me it would have been more plausible if he, because for him not to know that these questions were coming from his own team is stupid. Just anybody who's running for anything is going to know.
But I think he just.
But for him, it would have been more plausible if he just got upset about the fact that he was going to have to reveal so much to these people
right.
rather than getting, oh, I can't believe he asked.
But you don't think that the guy, was putting the knife in on purpose and
yes,
knows
I do that.
And was
yes,
angling
I
him
do
on
that.
Purpose for that reaction?
But that's his job.
I absolutely believe
oh, okay.
that.
And for him to, yeah, that's his job. His job was to
and
rattle
that's
him.
What I'm saying. I think it's impossible
to see how
for me
thick
to believe
his skin is and
that he wouldn't realize that was coming.
Okay, true. Well, as you can see, I think House of Cards, they write this show on purpose to, what do they say? You're not allowed to talk about sex, religion, and politics, and we talk about all of them on this show.
That's all the show's about.
So if you have a viewpoint either way of whether or not Russo was out of line and should have expected his people to ask these questions to make sure that he was prepped properly, or if it's just natural hubris and he had a right not to think that certain questions were going to be asked, make sure you let us know on iTunes. And you simply just go to iTunes.com, you go in the upper right-hand corner, and you type in AfterBuzz TV House of Cards, and you simply let us know by rating, comment, and subscribing. And by subscribing the podcast, whenever they're available, they will pop up right away, so you don't have to wait to hear what we have to say. And more importantly, we really want to know what you have to say. So you do that by commenting on iTunes, AfterBuzz TV, House of Cards.
Also, if you guys want to call in, comment, ask any questions, correct us on something, put in your 2 cents, you guys can call us now. 424-256-1633. 424-256-1633. That needs to be a jingle. Anyway, so let's move on because we're on limited time. But I want to talk about Stamper.
Oh,
and
Rachel. I'm sorry, Sapphire.
Sapphire. Yeah, Sapphire.
I don't know.
What's your name?
Rachel.
That situation is really funny. So I guess, you know, what's really funny is that now instead of him handling this situation, because it's a situation that has to be handled or managed, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah.
It feels real empathy for this girl, and he's like helping her.
Yeah.
You know, he gets Nancy to put her up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she has condemning information and about you know Russo, they're trying to keep you know things controlled with her
obviously,
under wraps.
Yeah.
He obviously feels for her. I don't think that situation is really gonna blossom.
Something's gonna happen. They didn't bring
anything.
It back for nothing.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
Now, what's that? How's that gonna go down?
I think writers. I think these writers are so good. They'll try to keep you on your heels a little bit, keep you off balance.
Well, yeah, that
bit.
Is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah,
at some
it
point.
Is.
Yeah,
so you kind of have to think about that situation. Plus, he went to go because of that situation. He had to go speak to
commissioner.
The commissioner.
Yeah.
and try to get the commissioner not having it.
No, yeah.
The commissioner, he tried to get this guy, $10,000?
Yeah.
Did he try to get
$10,000?
Did he try to solicit $10,000 for the campaign?
His campaign, yeah.
Okay.
They were gonna basically launder it.
He's like, I'm not tampering with finance. you crazy?
There's only so much corruption I'll get into.
He got up.
I broke the law once. I'm not doing it again.
Right. So he said, as far as I'm concerned, we're not even having this conversation. Yeah. I'm not even hearing this. So Stamper's hit a dead wall with that situation. But I think that he's got this girl under control, and I think she just needs somebody that's not going to slap her around and give her black eyes.
Yeah, no kidding. I just love the whole thing, the letter, and it was the way it was written. She looked so it was like junior high school kind of thing. It was just really kind of sad.
It made him feel really guilty because she's like, not in my mouth this time. Yeah. So I think that's why he does have sympathy for her.
Right.
Because she brought out his
humanitarian side.
I mean, it was a theme throughout the episode, and John specifically said it. Not only did she significantly look younger, the paper was either pink or purple, but when you saw her again, she looked younger, and at the end, at Nancy's house, the room still looked like Nancy's daughter left when she was 12.
And it was a parallel with Frank and Zoe with the whole Father's Day.
And am I not your dad, or do I not have any kids?
Yeah, that was creepy.
It was creepy.
That's why I don't even want to talk about it. I hope we run out of time.
No, we're going to get to that.
We're going to get to that right now.
We better do it now.
Okay, so before we get to that, let's talk about Zoe recruiting Janine.
Yeah. It's going to backfire.
You think so?
That's all I really have to say.
I think Janine is really smart. I'm not saying Zoe is not, but she's been doing this for a lot longer than Zoe.
Yeah.
Maybe not as advanced with technology that Zoe is, but she's been there. She's done that because
Are you saying that she's not going to do the fluff piece, or she's going to write something else? Because
no, I think she will, but she's going to be very cautious. Uh-huh. You know, she asks, "Why would you give me this story?"
Right. Sure. Yeah.
So I think Zoe would have asked the same questions that Janine did, but she's going to approach it with caution.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What's the angle with that?
What do you mean?
I feel like I missed it when I was watching.
Oh, Frank gave it to her. Basically, Frank was saying that I need the story to come out. I can't have you break the story because it will be too closely connected to me, but I need the story to get out there. So basically, give it to someone else. Yeah. And then Zoe's like, why would I give away a headline? And he basically said something about generosity.
Generosity is its own kind of power.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she chooses Janine.
And look how when they're having drinks, like Janine was like, well, I was going to call you because I was a royal witch. You know what I mean? She was all kind of like geeked up. And then when Zoe was like, oh, well, you know, maybe I could get you a meeting with the owner of Slugline. Like Janine was like geeked, like, oh my God, really?
And she talks to the owner of Slugline about it.
Right.
And she's like, okay.
She's paving the way.
But I agree with the premise that you said, Emma. But I think it's going to backfire for two reasons. Janine is an investigative reporter, number one.
Right.
Number two, she has seen how quickly Zoe has moved up the food chain by basically being a little bit less cautious.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she's going to go for it. There's no way that she's really going to believe that Russo is like, you know, now clean because he found God.
Yeah.
Like, it was obviously important. Like, it was so cheesy. That's why she kind of looked up like,
faith in God. And
right.
It's like, you know, I just didn't, you know, I was like, she was sniffing at, okay, he's telling me, you know, the talking points.
And that's the reason that they were giving him those hard questions in the
campaign.
Yeah. Because those are the kind of things is like,
That was stupid because they obviously, at the beginning of the episode, he specifically was like, I don't believe in God.
To then come back
at the end of the episode to be like, my renewed faith in God.
Yeah, it's like,
it was
wow.
like, wah, 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 you just played yourself. Just played yourself in front of a reporter who, again, has 15 years and 15 years at a White House level.
Yeah.
She's going to take you down.
And it would have been perfect. All you had to do was say, I had two reasons. And instead of saying my kids, and so he should have said, just named his kids. Two reasons.
Yep.
So,
and I think that really pissed Zoe off, the fact that she had to give the story away. And when Frank comes to her apartment and he wants to get right into it, she's like, no, hold on, let's talk first, because she wants to get her story.
Yeah, she wants a story out of 3 weeks with nothing. So. And nothing meaning not just story, but... Sorry.
Oh, my God, this whole thing makes me
We got a few minutes. We got to get into this. What do you mean disgusting? I thought it was awesome.
Okay. The first line
that I thought was great was the juxtaposition between insecurity and condescension. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Again, like Emma said, wanting to talk first versus play first. Right. But that whole scene with the spider being trapped, and
who is the spider in this instance?
Who is the spider in this instance?
Because it wasn't just Peter there. There's a metaphor for.
Correct. For a tangled web.
That's the whole thing. I mean, it's so rife with metaphor.
But I kind of felt like he was more into it than she was.
Until he reasserted his power. And I've been thinking about this. I'm just going to have to try to do as clean as I can.
Okay.
He tells her to call her dad, right? She calls her dad, right? And then while she's finishing up the conversation with the dad, he then starts to proceed to engage in activity with her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once he has finished in probably 45 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Asserting his dominance and his power and his knowledge and his wisdom, especially because she just related it back to the security. He was feeling a little bit insecure about his age, right?
Exerting or inserting? I can't remember.
Well, he's the one that asked about, he's the one that's feeling insecure
I'm
about his age.
To keep it
and really quick, before we wrap it up, I want to bring this up because do you think, it's obvious why Frank brought up his age, but do you think he was jealous after he saw Lucas
come
to her doorstop
that's exactly why he did what he did.
Yeah.
That was a power move. Think about it. Okay. I can't even think about it. He basically made sure that she knew I may not be like 20 or 25,
right,
but there's a wisdom.
I got the goods.
There's a wisdom that comes.
I deliver.
Whoa, hey.
With being the age that he is,
right,
and that's even why he said, do I not have kids? Like, wish me a happy Father's Day, i.e. like, call me
daddy.
Right?
Call me daddy.
And then when she said no, he goes, are you sure I don't have any children? And then basically when she looked at him, he then started again to make sure that he taught her a lesson.
I love that line.
That's the best
Okay, 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, I want you guys to tell me, what is the significance of Claire teaching herself origami?
I don't know. That's the same thing. I was the homeless man and that other stuff. And she even says, after she makes him and Peter sees him in the purse, she says, I'm just going to throw him away eventually. So even though it has such significance for her to learn this, because why would it? But she's thinking,
because how creepy that situation was with the guy flicking the $20 bill to her.
Yeah, but it still means, you know, in some respects, she knows that eventually it'll mean nothing to her.
I don't know the reason. I just know how I saw the symbolism. Origami is a very complex thing.
Uh-huh.
The angles and the lines, and you have to be very specific. Mm-hmm. And again, tying that back to a homeless person, where again, I think that with Claire, aesthetics are the only thing that's important. It's a very beautiful thing, but that was made by a very unbeautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
It's that juxtaposition of whether or not her concept of aesthetics is solid. Because again, it's just paper.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's this way or you fold it up, it's the same thing.
Right.
So I think it has to do with aesthetics, how she sees herself and how she sees the world.
Or is there some correspondence to the fact that he had a $20 bill, which he just threw away, and that's the same thing that she's going to do with this too. So even this, the thing of it may be beautiful, but I'm throwing it
away. Or whether or not she's going to be thrown away because her beauty is now fading.
Yeah, because that's why the whole conversation about the door and the hot flashes and the refrigerator and the whole thing. And yeah, I mean, we talked about that last week. I mean, I use the term is her bloom is fading or whatever it is. That's
right.
She's coming up against that a lot.
Interesting. There's a lot of interesting parallels.
Yeah, and they don't.
Claire.
I love that they don't really give us all of that. They're going to let us. They're really stingy with that little thing. And so it's like, okay, that's all we get this time with that.
Well, sorry, we got to be stingy with our time right
now.
We got to wrap it up. But we will see you guys at 6.
Oh, we got another
6 o'clock Pacific time.
6 o'clock Pacific time. You guys can call us 424-256-1633. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey. And where can we find you guys?
You go.
On Twitter at Sophia Stanley.
On Twitter at I am Emma K, and Instagram Emma_3xK.
And you can find John Comerford in his skin. When he hops out, you hop in.
And you can find me at AfterBuzz building another studio.
Woo-hoo!
Literally.
Building a studio. That's what I'm talking. He's really putting
shows.
He's hands on. I'm Club Thaddeus. You can find me at Club Thaddeus on IG, and which is Instagram if you didn't know, and Twitter.
I didn't know that either.
You know, IG is
IG is Instagram.
So until next time, AfterBuzzers.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.